Welcome to the Big in Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
If you joined us last week, we started a series on the Holy Spirit. And for us here, we're a Pentecostal church. So we believe in the Holy Spirit and the move of the Holy Spirit, okay? And we believe that God is still on the move and there is an active presence of God that is moving all around the world. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times, that we can access the Holy Spirit to help us in our daily life. Isn't that a good thing, right? That, you know, it's not just a dormant thing. It's a religious thing about, I hope I do good today and I hope God loves me. But actually knowing that God is real and active and wants to know you, and he actually wants to speak to you. And actually, when I put this sort of series aside, we're kind of looking at the different elements of the Holy Spirit or how he manifests in the scripture. And there was sort of like this Holy Spirit series was going to be fire, wind, oil, and rain, right? And I was just talking to a friend earlier before, and he said it sounds like Captain Planet. And, you know, in the final week, we'll get our rings, and no, we won't. So, heart. Anyway, so, but thing is, as I actually went into this series, and actually, God, I actually want to look into how you go about showing up and showing us who you are through your Holy Spirit. When it came to this word, we're looking at the wind of God today, the wind of God. And actually, when I first and foremost went into looking into the wind of God, there's so much stuff within the scripture about Holy Spirit, how he shows up through the winds. And there's actually a whole series I'd like to do on the four winds of the Holy Spirit, the north, east, south, and west. And there's this powerful stuff. And there's a lot of prophetic words going around the world at the moment about the east wind and all this sort of stuff. And I thought that's actually where I was going to go today. And it's funny how sometimes you have a plan that God goes, no, I'm trying to get something to you as, if you just stop and listen to me. And about halfway through the week, as I was preparing this message, I just felt there was a shift in my spirit. I felt that the Holy Spirit was actually speaking to me, saying, I actually want you to talk about the sound of the Holy Spirit. The sound. And I want to open up to Acts 1, 4 to 5. And if you have your Bible, please open it. If not, write down notes. I must admit, last week I got some of my verses wrong. Write scripture, just wrong verses, okay? It's in the Bible. It's just to test you all, because you're like, that's heresy. No, it's in the Bible, just as got his references wrong. But what, Acts 1, 4 to 5, if that happens again, just yell out, you're wrong, okay? So here it says this, on one occasion while he was eating with them, this is Jesus, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John the Baptist baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I just want to say something before we go any further, before we get into this idea of the sound of the Holy Spirit. There's something you've got to understand, that in the scripture, God actually shows us some ways in which we can encounter the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've actually come from a church upbringing where the Holy Spirit wasn't talked about because it was weird. It just wasn't talked about. Like, let's not talk about that weird thing called the Holy Spirit. Even though it was the foundation of the church, even though it was actually how it started, even that's the whole thing, let's just talk about the good, like just how we do good things later, okay? Because there's this almost like, I don't understand it. And maybe you've never experienced the Holy Spirit. You've never experienced a tangible presence of God. But I want to say that the scripture actually shows us some things that we've got to do even now today when we want to encounter what God has for us. And in this passage, there's a little statement that says this, but wait for the gift my Father promised. Even Bella, you stepped into that space, you started to say, hey, we want to wait on you. The reality is that waiting is something that comes when you go in pursuit of God. You need to be patient. It's actually a fruit of the Spirit, okay? Patience. You need to wait. But unfortunately, we live in a time where we are, I want it now. Give it to me now. I asked for it. I didn't get it. Next. And we actually can miss what God has for us if we're not prepared to do some waiting. But there's also another thing that we need to do that we actually find with the early church. When they go and wait, it says, Jesus says, wait in Jerusalem. I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Acts 4:38, it says this. This is the moment, okay? This is the moment after they've waited, after they've had their time, the Holy Spirit hits. And this is the first passage that Peter has. Acts 2, so you got my references wrong. People say I'm just dyslexic, right? But it's in the Bible. There's no Acts 4:38. That's the book of Azariah. And you can read that too. See, this is This is why I need to just hand everything to Beck before I preach. Acts 2, 38. Thanks, Josiah. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." I just want to stop there. This is after they've received the Holy Spirit, but I want to point this out. As I said, some of us, we don't have an experience with the Holy Spirit. We've come to church, we've been in traditional church, or maybe we haven't experienced seen, and we go through this motion of like, well, it's not for me. It's just not for me. You almost tap out like, well, it must be for them, maybe because they're, I don't know, they're just different. They've got something I don't have. But understand, this gift is for all. Peter, after Peter received it, this is this shy, timid guy who was in hiding, couldn't talk to a young girl about Jesus, gets the power of the Holy Spirit, starts preaching, and he makes it very clear. He says it very clear, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all those that are far off, for all that he calls. It's a promise. It's not a suggestion. It's not an idea. It's not a maybe, but this is a promise from God. However, you have to do something in the waiting. There's something that you have to do in the waiting. Jesus makes it very clear in his ministry that we actually have to be proactive in our faith. We can't lay dormant and just go, well, I prayed, did nothing, nothing happened. I did that once, it didn't work out. Jesus is constantly calling us to ask. Matthew 7:7, it could be there. It says this. Bring your Bible to church, all right? Oust your pastor. It says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Matthew 7:9, it says this. Because it's sort of just, Jesus kind of, he wants to highlight to us, God's a good father. Like, ask and you receive. Keep asking. It's like, you know, a nagging kid. Just keep asking. Dad. Finally, dad's like, yeah, whatever you want, you know? It says this, Matthew 7:9. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Such a famous passage. But understand, this teaching of Jesus is found in multiples of the Gospels. And I actually really love in Luke 11:5-13, he actually starts it off like this. He doesn't just go straight into ask and you'll receive. He tells a story. He tells a parable and he says this. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer them. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of your friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. And then he goes into, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be opened. I find that such an encouraging moment. Jesus says, hey, keep nagging me. Keep going after it. Didn't happen the first time. Maybe last week we were talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You came down the front. That was a massive step of faith for you to go, I'm going to go down the front. I look like an idiot. God, you better show up. And nothing shifted or changed in your life. And you walked away and you went home dejected and feeling like God isn't for me. Understand this. Jesus says, he's saying this, keep going. Keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking, like an annoying neighbor that wants bread at midnight. And why will he give you the bread? Because you didn't let up. In other words, there's a moment in our life where we have to get to a place where we go, at all costs, I want everything God has for me. At all costs. I'm not just going to tap out. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to stop. And what we find is that in Acts 1:12, Josiah, it says this, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives. This is after Jesus says, go and wait. When they arrived, they went upstairs in the room. Those present, Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. And it says this, while they were waiting for this thing, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. What do you think they were praying for in that moment? constantly in prayer. They're waiting in an upper room. Jesus goes, wait for the gift I'm about to give you, a promise I have for you, the Holy Spirit. What are they praying for? They're praying for the gift that God promised them. They're praying constantly. They're like, whatever it is, whatever this Holy Spirit thing is, we're praying for it. Constant prayer. While they were waiting, they were asking. While they were seeking, they were asking. In the seeking, they were asking. In the waiting, they were asking. In the waiting, they were knocking. And then in a moment, the Holy Spirit hits. The Holy Spirit hits that room, and we saw what happens. It says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Suddenly, the presence of God hits the room. Tongues of fire, they start to speak in another language. And after they've sought after the things of God, they have not ceased in praying, God shows up. I want to look at this thing that happens in this moment and the experience they have in this upper room. It says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. It doesn't say a wind from heaven came. I think sometimes we think it was wind, but it was the sound. There was a sound of wind. It was a howling. There was something in the room. There was a noise. There was something going on, this rushing air that was present. And I believe wholeheartedly that this moment, they identify, because they can't, I mean, how do you explain the supernatural? How do you explain the supernatural? These guys are like, it sounds like wind. There's a sound, there's a noise, it sounds like wind, it sounds like a rushing wind. They don't know what it is, it's the Holy Spirit. I believe wholeheartedly that it was actually the breath of God hits the room. If you actually look in the scripture, the word ruach is the spirit or breath. It's the same word used in Genesis 1 when it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The breath of God was hovering over the waters. The same word is actually used right when God breathes into Adam's lungs, the breath of God. He breathes in the ruach, the spirit, and things come to life. They get hit by the breath of God. They get hit by the Spirit of God, the wind of God, the sound. They actually hear God's voice in a breath, and it changes them. In a moment, their spiritual ears are open. Their spiritual eyes can see beyond the physical that they're experiencing. And all of a sudden, it's like nothing will ever be the same again. The power of God hits them. Have you ever noticed why Jesus, if you read in the passage, it's constantly Jesus. This happens all the time throughout the Gospels. And now when you read the Gospels, I'm expecting you're reading the Bible in the week. Constantly, Jesus says things like this. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Why does he say that? Everyone has ears. But he's actually saying, do you have spiritual ears to hear the voice of God? Do you hear the Holy Spirit? Do you hear the promptings? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And in Matthew 13, 9, when he actually says that, for those who have ears to hear, let him hear. The disciples themselves are very confused as to why he keeps sharing in these parables. And why do they ask questions like that? Because it would be weird. Jesus is in a group of 1,000 people. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And he's like, dumb statement, Jesus. They've all got ears. But he's like, you don't understand. There's some that have spiritual ears that are open, and some that just have the physical that are missing everything that I'm having to say. And Jesus unpacks this, and he says this, and the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak in these parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. So he quotes a prophecy from 700 years back. He says this, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes have been closed. Lest they should see their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. Understand this, church, the Holy Spirit has a distinct sound, distinct voice. And you and I all have the ability, once baptized in the Holy Spirit, to hear the voice of God clearly. And I understand that some of you might be going, I don't know, is that God or is that the cheese pizza from last night? You know, what is that? Is that just an inkling or what was it? Am I just a bit off right now? I watched a weird movie now. I'm a bit in a weird headspace. But the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. And just like tuning in a radio, that's what the Holy Spirit is like. You get used to His sound. Once you hear His sound clearly, all of a sudden you know that sound is Him. You know that that is God speaking. That's not you just making it up because you've heard that before. You are in relationship and in connection with that moment and you just know it. Does anyone have a family member that has a really weird laugh or a sound of their voice you could never miss? My sister has a laugh that's like a cackle. And if you hear Beck Hamilton, I know I've got a wife and another. Yeah, we're not, you know, it's not that weird. I'm from Toowoomba. It's always weird when I say that. I've got a sister, Beck Hamilton. But anyway, when my sister laughs, I know she's in the room. I just know she's in the room. I remember being on the north side of Brisbane in a shopping centre a few years ago, and I was just in the shops, and all of a sudden I could hear my sister laughing. And I'm like, my sister's here. Why the heck is my sister on the north side of Brisbane? She lives in Toowoomba. And I called her and I said, are you at Germside? She goes, yeah. You know the voice. I'm like, man, either someone has got my sister's laugh or, I mean, this is weird. But I just knew. I said, you are laughing so loud. You see, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it's the same. You tune in. You just know that you know that you know. And the longer you spend with God, the longer time you spend in His presence, the longer you spend in His Word, the longer you get to know His character because you know what the Word of God says. When He speaks, it's very clear and you don't have to even question it. You just know. Jesus was very clear with His disciples. You've got to know that those who follow me know my voice. They know the Holy Spirit. Very truly I tell you, He says, anyone who does not enter the sheep's pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief or a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. You know, I want to tell you, one of the greatest things you can do as a follower of Jesus is get to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. Get a clarity on His voice. And when you know, He stirs you and He's saying, you need to shift and change. Man, there's some great things that happen. Even this week, as I said, I had a plan on what I was going to preach. Halfway through the week, I felt the Holy Spirit saying, no, what are you talking about? This is actually what I want you to talk about this week. This is what I want you to say. And I got to tell you, after 30 years of actually being in tune with the Holy Spirit, hearing His voice, I remember the first time that the Holy Spirit spoke to me. It was a challenge to put my faith on the line as a 14-year-old kid at a restaurant called Sizzler. I've shared this before, but it was the first time that I had this moment, this dropping in my spirit that I should do something that seemed really stupid. I was locking up on clothes, on the register, wearing a pink shirt because that's what Sizzler used to look like, candy canes. And I remember just, as I'm locking up, my register jams. Couldn't open the register. Couldn't count the money. My boss is in his office. He's a big guy. He's swearing his head off because he has to call in security for the night because they can't count the money. They can't get the cash registers. And he comes out. He's putting a key in the register. It doesn't unlock. And he's doing all of these things to override and change things. He's getting more and more angry. And I know that there's a little voice within me said, pray for the register. And as a 14-year-old kid, I went up, put my hand on the register. God, please open the register. And I pushed a button, like a number that didn't make no sense. And went, pa-ching. And I looked at it, and I was in shock. My boss came out and said, what the beep did you do? Because I was in shock. I said, I prayed. And he looked at me and went, you effing Christians. I'm 14. And I remember thinking, yeah. And the whole night, they're all like, this is so stupid. And like, they were literally like, oh, you pray for the register. You're like the saint of the register, you know? Like, and I remember, but I just knew there was something in me just to step out in faith. Just this little inkling. And I got to tell you, there's been moments where I've stepped out in faith. I thought God told me something and I got it completely wrong. And after 30 years of just stepping out in faith, there's moments I'll get it wrong. And if I have a word for you in church and you're like, well, did that happen? Hey, I'm going to come and have a chat to you. Hey, am I on point here? Is there something in that for you? If it's not, hey, just let it go. But I'm going to keep stepping out in faith because I know the Holy Spirit wants to speak to me. He's constantly stirring. He wants to show me which way to go. I don't want to go in my day to day and actually go, I don't know where I'm going. I want to go, Holy Spirit, show me. I got this much time in my life to do so many things. Show me what's most important to have the greatest impact for you. Am I wasting my time or am I listening to your voice? What is it you want me to do? I know the Holy Spirit has saved my life multiple times. I remember driving back from Harvey Bay one night and I was on this back highway and I went past this service station. I wasn't going to stop for dinner. I wanted to get home. And as I was driving past the service station, I went past it and I just felt that same little still voice, that voice that I know his voice, saying, turn around and go and have some dinner. And I'm like, there? The old truck stop? So, okay. So I remember turning around, going in there and ordering one of their deep fried menus because that's all they sell. And I sat down and I'm like, why am I here? And I genuinely, like, God, why am I here? No one else was there. So I ordered my really horrible meal. And I'm eating it. I'm like, why am I here? I should have just kept driving. This is terrible. And all of a sudden, about 4 or 5 police cars went past. Then a fire truck went past. Then about 4 ambulances went past. This is all within about, 10 minutes of this whole experience. And I was like watching this unfold. And then I said to the guy at the counter, I said, do you know what's going on? He said, I'm just going to call up. So he called up the local fireys or the cops or whatever. And gets on the phone and goes, oh, man. There's been like a 5-car pileup. A cow came across the road and there's some fatalities happening and you won't be going through there tonight. Now, I could just say, yeah, maybe I just was hungry for some deep fried food. But I know. I wasn't supposed to go there. And God's Holy Spirit is on your side. He wants to protect you in moments where you don't understand. But are you willing to stop and be obedient? Are you actually waiting? I remember talking to a guy who was a missionary in Tanzania. Him and his family went to Tanzania and they were doing a whole bunch of mission work. And I said, how do you find that? And he said, I find it really, he goes, I know that God's called us there, but it's every day is danger for me and my young kids. And he goes, so every day we spend time in prayer and ask God what we are to do today. He said, because if you don't have the Holy Spirit, your family's life will be ended short. And he actually shared a story with me. He said, you need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. This is years ago. I remember in my 20s chatting to him and was so impacted by this story. He said, there's a lot of people that come out here in the name of Jesus. They want to change the world and get everyone saved. And they have a mission and they have their whole state. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And he said, I remember we were staying and sharing this story. They were staying in this certain village and this missionary family were coming through and they're like, tomorrow we're going here. And this family said, hey, we've been praying for the last 2 days. We haven't gone anywhere forward because there's just a sense that there's some real gear going on in the spiritual space there. Have you really taken the time to think about going through that area? And this family's like, yeah, we're going to do it. And he said, I just was pleading with this family, would you just pray about it? Would you pray about it? Don't rush into it. You can do whatever you want. You have the freedom to choose, but just pray about it. And he said, the next day, this dad, he was just adamant. We are going to go and do what we're going to do. He said they all died that day. And he said because their car got hit by a bunch of rebels. And he said their life was ended short. And I was like going through a whole bunch of processes, martyrs for Christ, all this sort of stuff. And I said, and people like they died for their faith. And he's like, they'd be a lot more successful if they're alive today, doing more of God's work. And I think these are the things when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we shouldn't be upset by the things of God when they don't work out or maybe, but we should always be seeking after his Holy Spirit. We want to hear God's voice. We want to be able to discern that it is God. We want to be close to God. We want to be understanding that it is him that is speaking. Hey, I just want to say this to you too. If you've come in here today when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it's a bit of a teaching session on the Holy Spirit because I've been in and around this sort of space for probably about 30, well, pretty much my whole life. I grew up in a Pentecostal church. I saw a lot of crazy stuff and some stuff I was like, that's weird. But then also in amongst that, just seeing a real move of God was nothing like you've ever seen before. And over the years, I can say this, that there's been words of knowledge that have been given or given prophecy to people that has not been of God because it's never lined up with the word of God. And so you've got to understand discernment. If it's not in the scripture, then don't receive it. I've seen people actually get crippled in their walk with God because they've been given a negative word that has crushed their spirit. That's not a word from God. That's called a curse. And understand you need to let go of those things that actually hold you. And maybe you've received, maybe you've been in church, you've seen some stuff, or you've received a word that's actually damaged you. And instead of actually going, well, I'm actually going to go after the things of the Holy Spirit, it has held you back. I want you to understand that in the book of Thessalonians, this is actually addressed to the early church. Because in the early church, I mean, there was all sorts of crazy stuff going on. There were false prophets out there. There were people claiming to be Jesus, claiming to be a whole bunch of stuff. And so the early church was like, is this God? Is this not God? And so this is what happens in Thessalonians. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It says, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. In other words, he says, hey, when God's on the move, don't put water on that fire and say, I don't want nothing to do with that. He says, don't do it. Don't quench it. Don't despise that God is on the move and you don't understand it because the supernatural, you'll never understand everything. Don't despise that. Don't despise prophecy. But it says this, but test everything. And then what does it say? Hold fast to what's good. What do you do with the stuff that's not good? Let it go. Let it go. Because we can miss the things God has for us because of something that was negative and we never let go of it. Hold on to what is good. Make sure that what is being said is of God, from God. Understand that it comes from the Word of God. It's in line with Jesus' teaching. I remember a lady coming up to me, a very, very fresh Christian years ago. We were doing the Alpha course with her. And she actually, after a preach, she came up to me, she says, oh, as this week, God spoke to me and told me to leave my husband and to go off with my lover. It was really weird. I'm like, huh? Yeah, God told me he wants me to be happy. And I'm like, no. What do you mean God told? And here's the thing. Does it line up with the word of God? No. Where did she get the word from? Someone who had no, not someone who actually followed Jesus at all, but was a spiritualist. Was spiritual, but actually didn't follow Jesus. It's very important that we actually listen to the right voices. I remember having another mate for years, and he came to me. He was dating this girl, and every time we'd catch up, he'd tell me that God told me this, God told me that. We're going to get married. God told us we're going to go to Melbourne. And then the next week, it's like, well, God told us we're going to break up. And then God this and God that. After about 2 months of listening to this guy, because I had a terrible relationship, I stopped him and said, do you know what, mate? God doesn't need the rap for your rubbish relationship. Don't put that on God. That's your free will. God didn't tell you anything because it's not in line with the Word of God. And you're trying to hide behind spiritual things to manipulate your life. God doesn't deserve the rap for it. And maybe you've experienced that in your own life. And that's why you go, I don't like this Pentecostal stuff. It's weird. Can I say, that once again, the scripture says this, do not quench the spirit. Don't despise prophecies. Test everything. Hold to what is good. When it comes to the voice of God, you need to understand another thing when it comes to the Spirit of God, when it comes to the Holy Spirit. By the way, God speaks through a certain kind of voice. He does not use the mouthpiece of clairvoyance. He does not use the mouthpiece of tarot cards, palm readings, star signs. He doesn't use that mouthpiece. He only ever speaks through someone who professes that Jesus Christ is Lord and they follow him with their life. He will only work through the mouth of a person that says he is the only one to the Father. And so often we get caught up, but isn't it spiritual? No. It's demonic. Old Testament stuff, when the Israelites went into a new land, Deuteronomy, it says, when you come into the land which the Lord God is giving you, you shall not learn and follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens or a sorcerer, one who conjures spells or a medium or a spiritist, and one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out before you. You know, I understand we all have a heart. If you're in this church today just because you wanted to just spend 2 hours of your morning and just, I don't know, you're just here and you're like, why am I here? I hope you're here because you want to hear from God, right? I hope you have an expectation the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. I hope that you walk out of here going, God has given me some clarity today. He's given me some absolute clarity today. The thing is, we want to shortcut God because we don't want to what? Wait. We don't want to have patience when it comes to the things of God. We want it now. That's why we go to people like clairvoyance, or we get our palms read, or we read our star sign. Oh gosh, what's happening today? Because you want an instant hit. You want instant moments of spiritual answers because you are fearful for tomorrow. You don't know what your life has on offer. And how does God respond to that? How does he respond to his people who want to know what their future holds because of fear of not knowing? We know that this is what happens in Matthew 6:25. Jesus speaks so clearly. He says, hey, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you'll eat, what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air that do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. All you need to do is seek after God. And as a result, yes, patience will be grown, which is a fruit of the Spirit, but also joy will come from that place. And I will tell you now, when you seek just God, the peace of God, that surpasses all your understanding that your mind is running, will hit your life through the Holy Spirit. There will be an overflow of the fruit of the Spirit of God. You know, another thing you can look for, if someone gives you a word, someone comes up to you, I think God told me to tell you this. You know how you can actually test it? Look at that person and see if they've got the fruit of the Spirit in their life. Because God gives the gifts freely when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Someone could have the gift of healing but not know God. What does it say? In the scriptures, it says, Jesus says at the end times, he says, you cast out demons in my name and I didn't even know you. You did all these things, I didn't even know you. I don't even know who you are. Jesus points out that the gifts are gifts, they're freely given. The fruit, however, is for those that spend time with God. Those who know God, who have a heart after God, a heart that says, whatever happens, I know my God, I love my God through every circumstance, and there'll be fruit in their life. You'll know this. You'll be able to see them by their fruit because a tree produces certain fruit. It can't be mocked. I mean, it produces fruit. And it says this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And then says this, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us keep in step with God's voice. God speaks through many avenues. Sometimes he's really loud, like on the day of Pentecost. And sometimes he's really quiet. Remember Elijah? God goes, hey, wait in the mountain, I'm going to speak. And then there's a massive wind. Nah, he's not there. But I thought he spoke in the wind. Then there's fire, and then there's an earthquake, and then it says, then there's this still whisper. And Elijah goes, ha, that's my God. How come Elijah knows that that's God? Because he's spent time with him. He knows him inside and out. He's lived a life of righteousness, trying to bring what's right into the land. Here's a man that says in James was just an average man like you and I who prayed for a drought to bring the King Ahab to his knees and bring him back to God. This is a man who knew the voice of God because he knew what God's heart was and he lived for God's heart. The voice of God is constantly speaking and we have to be in tune with what he wants to say to us today. I was so encouraged and I hope Bella, I don't know if Bella's around, but she went out. She's going to sing soon. Oh, ba-ba, there she is. It's a secret door out there. I was so moved because this week Bella actually shared a story about how God spoke. You see, he's always on the move. I want you to understand this. We had baptisms last week. And there was a young girl here who got baptized. Her name's Michaela. And I don't want to ruin the story or mess it up, but it sounds like Michaela's been at youth a couple of times. That's it. She went to youth camp, got touched by God. She came back and she wanted to get baptized. Is she here today? No? I don't know. Youth are like, we know this story, right? So she gets invited. She works over at Zarafis here. One of her friends invites her to church, and so she's coming along. She gets baptized last week, and that same still voice, when she got out of the water of baptism, instantly the Holy Spirit spoke to me. This little thing, she's like a lightning bolt for Jesus. Just when she touches people, we're going to be like, whoa, that's okay. And so that was just the word I had in my spirit. And then Bella starts to pray, and she goes, Michaela, you're a firecracker. And I went, that's pretty close to lightning. I think I don't know this girl at all, right? So I'm like, cool. So she prays this firecracker thing, and I pray the lightning bolt thing. Michaela's lit up like a lightning bolt. She's stoked. And so she went her own way. But then this week, Bella, can I read it? Bella gets a text message from Michaela, which I just think is amazing. It says, hey, Bella, just wanted to send you a quick message about an encounter. She actually says, I sent a quick mess. You know, so Gen Z. About an encounter I had with another lady who came into work today. Not long after I started, so just over Zarafis here, a customer came running and said to my manager, this is just someone out of the blue, there was someone here that was baptized today and I was called here to see her. When I went out to see her, she told me I truly was the daughter of lightning and a firecracker. She told me God had pulled her here to see me and pray for me. This lady drove from Wynnum. The lady told me God loved me and that he was proud of me and had great plans for me. I thought it was the most fantastic thing, and I just thank you and Josiah and the rest of the team for making this possible for me. We had nothing to do with that woman. That's the Holy Spirit speaking. Can you imagine? Oh, well, that happened to me. Let them in. You know, where have you driven from? You can't make that stuff up. And when it comes to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and when it comes to God, you can't make up what God is doing. So you want to get to know that voice, right? I mean, I want to meet this woman. I mean, she's in tune. Man, she knows what's going on. But also, what I love about this is the Michaela, who made a decision to follow Jesus in the waters of baptism last week, who is a brand new baby Christian, will never, ever be able to deny that God sees her and loves her. And he sees and loves you today as well. He sees and loves you today as well. We're going to wrap up today, but I want to say this. When Jesus was around before the famous passage, for God so loved the world that he sent his own son, you know, the classic John 3:16, that is real, that scripture. Most of you know it. Yep, he's onto a good thing here. Before that passage, actually, there's this Pharisee named Nicodemus who actually finds Jesus and chats to him at night. And he's really blown away by the fact that Jesus is doing miracles, doing stuff that none of the other Pharisees or religious leaders can do. And he knows he's from somewhere else. He knows he has something that someone else, you know, no one else has. And Jesus, in verse 5 of John 3, says this, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they have been born of water, which is water baptism, and the Spirit. You need the Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised by my saying, you must be born again. Later on, Nicodemus goes, what? That's weird. Do I have to go back to my mother's womb? That's weird. And Jesus has to go, no. But he does say this. He says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. He's saying those that have the Holy Spirit will live their daily lives, going wherever God may call them to go, and they will step out in obedience to do things that might even seem crazy, like driving from Wynnum to a Zarafa's to put their faith on the line to say someone was baptized and then to speak out a word that God spoke. That's what people of the Spirit look like. And Beacon, I want a church full of people that can hear God's voice. So today I want everyone to stand up. There's two things I really felt the Holy Spirit say to me as I was preparing this week. One, that he wants to heal those that have been hurt by things that have been done in the name of the Holy Spirit and done in the name of Jesus that were completely wrong. He wants to heal that. He wants you to let it go today. And he wants you to hold on to what is good. He wants you to test everything. He wants you to open your Bible to know him, to spend time with him in his presence, to spend time in worship, to get closer to him so you know that you know that you know it's God. Not just some kind of jargon or an idea. You will know. It's the first thing. I think God wants to heal some people. So I just want us to shut our eyes real quick. Because I want to pray for that healing. I want to pray for the Holy Spirit to actually do a healing in your heart where you've been damaged and hurt by this stuff. Really feel there's a whole bunch of you. You've just been hurt, man. Maybe there's been a word spoken over you and it has literally, he has bound you. That's a curse. I want to break that off in Jesus' name. He wants to set you free today. There's freedom in Christ. And if that's you today, when it comes to these things, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, you just know, man, I haven't gone in pursuit. I haven't sought him. I haven't knocked on the door. I haven't gone seeking. I haven't because I've been disappointed. I've been let down. If that's you today and you want to let that go today so God can move in your life, I just want you to raise your hand wherever you're at. Across this room, if you've been hurt by that, yeah, man, yeah, thank you for your, oh, yeah. Yeah, I see your hand in the middle there, at the back there. There's more of you today. I just know there's more. You've come in here today going, man, I know you're real God, but this stuff hurts. Yeah, on the right-hand side, young lady, I see your hand. Across this place. Maybe your heart's pounding and you're like, do I really want to let go of this hurt? Do I really want to start again? Do I really want to let God back in? Can I say to you, just let him in. He loves you so much. He sees you and he knows you. He loves you. He loves you so much. Just release it. Give it to him by lifting your hand. It's just a sign of faith. I let it go today. Just raise your hands if that's you. Just more people across the room at the back there, to the left, to the right. Yeah, amazing. Holy Spirit, I thank you for stirring our hearts today. God, I thank you that you do have a voice. You do have a sound that we can tune into, that we can be assured of who you are and we can be assured of our daily decisions because we want to follow after you. We'll seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. We know that, God, you'll add all those other things. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. We don't need to seek other things that are spiritual, God, that bring about damage and hurt in our lives. God, we can just go after you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the answer. So God, I pray right now that you would touch hearts and you would mend hearts in this room that have been hurt, so desperately hurt by those things that have been said. God, heal them in Jesus' name. Amen. And second, I want to pray for those that just go, you know what, I don't hear him. I'm not sure. I don't know if I'm in tune. I need my spiritual ears to be open. When Jesus says, for he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Understand this is a promise for everyone. They can have ears to hear. They can have eyes to see. But you have to step out and say, God, I want that. I want more for my faith walk. I don't want to just live a religious life. I want to be able to hear from you clearly. Show me which way to go. I want to be able to follow you. If that's you today, lift your hands towards heaven right now. Lift them up and say, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to be that person. I want to be able to know, to be prompted to do what you want for me. I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to waste my time. God, I just pray right now for those that are lifted hands across this room. There's so many, God, that want to hear your voice. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would open the ears of those that need their ears open spiritually, for their spiritual eyes to be open to the things of you, God. God, that you would give discernment to their hearts of what to do, which way to go, what is up, what is down, which right path to take in their life, God. We don't want to waste another day of our life. We want to follow you with everything we have. We want to seek after you. We want to knock on those doors that you want to open. Jesus, I thank you for this church. I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would move, that God, you would just start to bring clarity. God, you would start to light up the Word of God. God, when people open their Bibles, may scriptures jump off the page, illuminate. God, God, would you speak through your living word? Would the Bible be something that we crave after? May it be a thing that we want in our life. May we be hungry for your word. May we not be dormant in chasing after the things of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And
thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.